Welcome to episode 335 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. I'm Peter Anderson. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. Today we wrap up our week-long study of Eros, one of the four types of love we can find alluded to in the Bible. Eros is used in the Old Testament to express the physical and sensual intimacy between a husband and a wife. However, in modern times, the word is confused with vulgarity due to its similarities to the word erotic or erotica, which is defined as a state of sexual arousal. This makes reclaiming the true holiness of the word a challenge. However, according to Pope Benedict XVI, Scripture describes God's passion for his people using boldly erotic images. God loves us as a bridegroom, as a lover with all the passion of a true love, he says. Within the boundary of marriage, Eros love is to be celebrated. The Song of Solomon is described as the Song of Songs, or the greatest of all songs. Its focus on romance and marital love shows us what a high regard God has for the institution of marriage and how he feels about each of us. Max Lucado once said, "If God had a refrigerator, your picture would be on it. If he had a wallet, your photo would be in it. He sends you flowers every spring and a sunrise every morning. Face it, friend, he's crazy about you." God is not only crazy about us individually, he wants us to experience the joy of intimacy in marriage. In many passages, the Song of Solomon celebrates the romantic aspects of Eros. Solomon uses poetry to express passionate love for his new bride and hers for him. Song of Solomon 1, verses 2 to 4. "Oh, that he would kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for your love is more delightful than wine. The fragrance of your perfume is intoxicating. Your name is perfume poured out. No wonder young women adore you. Take me with you. Let us hurry. Oh, that the king would bring me to his chambers." The Song of Solomon is a book filled with romantic demonstrations of love between a bride and groom. Because God included this book in the canon of his inspired word, we can safely say that romance is acceptable and even applauded by our Creator. Romance in the context of a pure and committed relationship can enhance that relationship and increase the enjoyment of married love as God intended. However, romance for the sake of romance can be destructive. Most romances begin with the delightful sense of falling in love, which can be intoxicating. The act of quote-unquote falling in love produces a chemical deluge in the brain, similar to that experience with drug use. The brain is awash in adrenaline, dopamine, and serotonin, the feel-good chemicals, which cause us to want to return to the source of that feeling. But because of our brain's response, romance can become an addiction. Feasting on quote-unquote emotional porn, like romance novels, erotic magazines, sexually themed TV shows and movies, sets us up for unrealistic expectations in our real-life relationships. Researchers estimate that the human brain can only sustain that intense in-love feeling for a maximum of 2 years. Ideally, a couple has worked on deepening their love and commitment during that time, so that when the intense feelings of being in love taper off, a deeper love takes its place. However, for those addicted to romance, this tapering off signals that it is time to find another person who will induce the same euphoria. Some people diagnosed with relationship addiction may in fact be addicted to the feelings produced by quote-unquote falling in love. Thus, they attempt to recreate that feeling over and over again. With that description in mind, it's easy to see why love and romance are not necessarily the same. The Bible gives several examples of couples who experience romantic love and the results of those romances. Genesis 29 tells the story of Jacob falling in love with Rachel. He was willing to work for her father for 7 years in order to marry her. Verse 20 says that those 7 years were like a few days to him because of his great love for her. Although Jacob's story continued with deception, heartache, and frustration for everyone, his romance with Rachel is not condemned in Scripture. However, romance got Samson into trouble when he let his emotions rule him. Judges 14 details the beginning of Samson's downfall when he let romance dictate his decisions rather than following the Lord's direction. Romance can be either negative or positive depending on whether we let those emotions rule our lives. When we are pursuing our feelings, we can get into moral and marriage trouble. Jeremiah 17 verse 9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" The popular saying, "Follow your heart," is terrible advice. When we follow the passions of our hearts, we're easily led into deception, sin, and regret. Instead of pursuing romance, we should pursue the Holy Spirit's leading in our relationships. It is always wise to pursue love, the 1 Corinthians 13 kind of love. Then when in the pursuit of showing love, someone special rises to our attention, godly romance can be a gift from our Heavenly Father. One of the most dangerous ideas from modern culture is this notion that people ought to fall in love. The Bible presents love not as an emotion, but as an act of the will. We choose to love. That is, we commit ourselves to act in the best interests of another person. The idea of falling in love relies on warm emotions and more than likely, surging hormones. The biblical view of love is that love can exist apart from feelings. No hormones are needed to obey the command to love your neighbor as yourself. This does not mean that there ought not to be physical chemistry between couples. This does not mean that there ought not to be sexual attraction. Of course, nice emotions often accompany love, and we naturally have warm feelings towards someone to whom we are attracted. And of course, it's good and proper to have positive feelings and surging hormones within the company of one spouse. But if that's all there is to falling in love, then we're in trouble. What happens when the feelings fall away? What happens when the hormones stop surging? Have we fallen out of love? God intends for eros to be an integral part of the marriage relationship, but it is not his intention for us to fall in our loving of others. It should not be a situation where we can fall. It should be a situation where we can uplift each other. Love should never be seen as dependent on feelings or expediency or romantic attractions. The falling in love concept places undue emphasis on the emotional condition of those involved. The wording of the phrase almost makes it sound as if love were an accident. "I can't keep falling in love with you" makes a nice song lyric, but in real life, we're responsible to control our emotions. Many marriages have ended and many foolishly begun because someone fell in love with the wrong person. God hates divorce, no matter how hard someone fell in love with another man or woman. Love is not a state that we stumble into. It's a commitment that we grow into. Part of the trouble with the idea of falling in love is the world's twisting of what love means. It would often be more accurate to say that those who fall in love actually fall in lust, or fall into infatuation, or fall into codependency. Love is the more excellent way. Love is patient, love is kind, and we don't fall into patience or kindness. The more we grow into love, the more giving and others-focused we will become. Song of Solomon proclaims a wholeness that is at the center of God's teaching on committed love for a world that seems to focus on lustful sex outside the confines of marriage. The book illustrates that men and women are created physically, spiritually, and emotionally to live in, not fall in love. The love between a husband and a wife should be, among other things, an erotic love. However, a marriage based solely on erotic love will fail. The thrill of sexual love tempers and wanes. Healthy marriages will have what God intended, a mix of eros, agape, storge, and philia. Father, thank you for the lessons that we learn from the Song of Solomon, lessons about the depth of love you have for us and the depth of love husbands and wives ought to have for each other. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full today.